Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode of the Hollywood Outsider, we are heading back to San Diego to look at Comic-Con 2026 and discuss the biggest news to drop out of Hall H and the other venues. Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today are my fellow host, Troy Heinrichs.
Hall H. That stands for Hollywood Outsider.
Sure. All right. And Kyle Nolan from NoReruns.net and our man on the street, Mr. Kyle Nolan. How are you, Kyle?
All right. A little tired.
You just literally got back, right?
Yep. I got a red eye. And I have red eyes. Yep.
Pink eye at Comic-Con?
Yep.
From all the nerds. Quite the party. Remember, you can always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Facebook and da-da-da-da, all the other places, but I don't want to go through all that. I want to know, how was South by Southwest, which you didn't go to, San Diego Comic-Con?
It was good.
It was a great festival.
There's a podcast about that.
Yeah, you should go back and listen to that one. Amanda showed up for that one. So San Diego Comic-Con, you were on the street. I'm just curious, like, we're going to talk about the whole thing, but I'm just curious, is there anything that was vastly different this year or took you by surprise or anything else?
There were still loads of crowds, but it definitely felt like a cost-cutting year for a lot of these companies. Like, there were a lot fewer activations, or there were smaller activations, or they pared things down. Like, if it was the same activation, like the Percy Jackson felt a little cheaper this year. The Hulu Animayhem was only half the size that it usually is. And, like, Disney cut back on other stuff, too. Like, even my hotel wasn't... The elevators weren't wrapped, which they always are every year.
Oh, wrapped so with the ads, the markets?
Yeah, money. Like last year they had King of the Hill and all the elevator things. This year, just nothing.
You're kidding me. Wow, the tariffs hit San Diego Comic-Con, I guess.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it just seemed like in general, like even like there's always like the 15 or 16 years I've been going, there's always been a Fox Disney booth in the convention hall, and you'd always run there first, get a free poster tube, and they'd give out posters of all of the various like Fox animated shows. Mm-hmm. They weren't there this year. This is the first time in like 16 years I haven't seen that booth, so it just felt weird not to have that there. So there were definitely some cost cutting, but the crowds were still incredibly massive. On like preview night, I went into the show floor and I was over it within 15 minutes of just trying to wade through the massive crowds.
That's, you're over it.
Yeah.
Do you ever get to the point, I know I get like this with South by sometimes because it gets a little too popular, I guess. I mean, where you don't get the fun that you used to because the crowds are more interested in taking pictures and video than actually experiencing it. Did you have that? Is it like that?
No, it's only the floor that I just don't find a lot of fun, because what I tend to spend most of my time doing is I try to get into the activations, so I usually try to get, like, reserved time so I don't have to wait the 2 hours to get into those, and I enjoy doing the press rooms, but there also seem to be fewer of those this year. I only did 3 press rooms this year.
What was your best press room? Best time?
I actually really enjoyed there was this random MeTV show called, Collector's Choice.
What is MeTV? Is that like reality TV or something?
Yeah. So it's like a show where they feature some person's collection of something and they have like an expert come in and try to evaluate it. And then they make them a offer at the end where they're offering to trade something from their collection with that person. So they have to make the choice if they want to make that trade or not. But it's hosted by Lisa Welchel from Facts of Life.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And so she was in the press room.
Right?
How's Blair? Yep, Blair from Facts of Life. So it was really enjoyable just talking to her in the press room. And then we talked to some of the experts too. And they were all just so, like, one group we talked to for 30 minutes, they were at our table. Just me and one other guy talking to those two. And so it was just a really interesting time. I also have the Dungeon Crawler Carl press room, which I really enjoy that series. So it was great to be able to talk to those guys. And then also there was a Kate McKinnon, she does a series for Audible as well. And so it's her and her sister, and the two of them are just hilarious.
And you got to sit down with her?
Yep. We just sat. It was a round table, so there were like six of us at the table. But like once those two went off, they were just playing off one another. And it was just amazing to just be that close and see her just like do her thing.
That's fantastic. I love Kate McKinnon. Those interviews will be up on your website, right?
No one reruns that. Yeah, I need to edit those videos and post them.
You need to get on that if you stop slacking. And you just land. Hey, Troy, you can finally get rid of all those Legos, by the way. There's a show where you can actually submit your collection and get an offer.
I saw it and I'm tempted.
You should give it a go. Oh, well, before we get into Comic-Con, well, no, we'll talk about it at the end, but we did have our Ho Cruise. So if you're wondering why there was no episode last week, it's because I forgot to do it before I left. And once I was on a boat, I wasn't going to do it. So there you go. Or ship. I apologize to all the sailors out there. Wink, wink.
Oh, no, it was smaller. It probably is a boat.
No, it's still a ship. We had a great Alaskan cruise this time. We've done two to the Caribbean, and this one was Alaska. And I think, great time, Troy. Good time?
Oh,
great time?
Yeah. I never put doing a 180 on a cruise ship before.
Oh, because you go to the glacier. Yeah, you go to the glacier and you spin around a couple times.
Spun on a dime. I was like, damn, that's pretty impressive.
I was amazed how many people said, I didn't know a boat could do that. I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't know a ship could do that.
Especially with like how narrow that channel was. Like, are we going to clear? Is there one of those chunks of ice going to hit us?
I mean, that's really not the joke to make, I don't think, on a cruise ship. But, you know, whatever. You do you. You do you. You stretch your arms out however you feel you need to at the front.
Did you guys take the photo of you two doing the Titanic?
No, we didn't.
We did not.
Shit, what a disappointment.
It was so windy out on the helipad.
It really was. Troy would have blown away. He's lost a lot of weight, so he's kind of skinny now. I'd be fine. I'd just plant my feet. I've been eating so much at the freaking buffet. I'm still getting used to coming back to land and no one's feeding me. No one's bringing me my dinner. No one's bringing me an appetizer. No one's bringing me an extra appetizer. It's really disappointing.
No one's bringing you hand sanitizer between the courses.
I really like that. I like having hand sanitizer everywhere you can go. And my kids kept asking me because they were on this cruise. And they were like, are you going to come to it's called the Windjammer on the Royal Caribbean. Are you coming to the buffet, the Windjammer? And I'm like, no, I don't even know where it is because there are people that will bring it to me. And that's the experience I paid for. I'm here to pretend I'm rich.
I mean, the food in the Windjammer is not bad, but if you can have like hotel scrambled eggs and bacon served on a buffet versus like sit down and have an omelet prepared for you, eggs Benedict and French toast with berry compote, I'd rather eat in the restaurant instead of the Windjammer any day of the week.
And I'd rather not have kid snot on my ladle. So
yeah,
I'm just going to, I'm going to let the waiters take the risk. I can't do it. I just can't do it. Too much of a germaphobe, I guess.
I did find the pizza on the second last night, finally.
I couldn't find a pizza place. Where is it at?
Yeah, there's normally, like on the trips that we used to go on the cruises before, there's always pizza on floor five for like those late night eaters. And so this boat is much, 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 much smaller. It's like the second smallest size in the fleet.
We took a smaller one so we could have better itinerary.
So we could spend ports on a dime.
Yeah.
You know, in the channel. And so at late at night in the adult only area at the Park Cafe, there was pizza after 10 o'clock.
Man, I really should have wandered around. I don't know if I was awake after 10, though. So if I'm being honest, I probably wouldn't have found it.
Yeah, my room is right below that. So I was like, I always walked by to go to my room and I'm like, oh man, there's the pizza.
Really could have used that information in like day two. But
I know.
Anyway, we did have a great, Amanda actually had a balcony, and because, and she's probably still like recovering from all her sleep, but she had a balcony, and the deck that she was on, she got lucked into an extended balcony. Only on one floor do they have this extended balcony. Of course, she's on it. And so we basically shared her balcony for a big portion of the cool cruising. And in fact, her significant other, shout out to that guy, didn't damage anything, but he did take the love seat from the cabin and put it out on the balcony so we could sit nice and comfy as we went down the ocean. So that was pretty fun. that was a good time. Good cruise. Great people. Always fun when everybody listens to the Hollywood Outsider goes. A lot of our mutual friends, you know, Scotty Clark and Ruthie and Mandy, longtime listeners, as well as many, many friends. I mean, it was just a great cruise. And, you know, we'll see if we do it again, a final one, it will be in the Caribbean, or this is the final one. I don't know, but it'll be one of those. We'll find out in a couple of years, I guess. But in the meantime, it's time to go back to San Diego and talk about San Diego Comic-Con. Now, we've done this in the past. We've done it every year for many years. I used to go, and I got tired of people. I could only people so much. And so Kyle decided he's going to keep handling the people, and I'm just going to read about it online. And we'll talk about the Marvel news a little later on in the show. That'll be closer to the end. But in the meantime, we've each picked out some things that we thought were really cool, either breaking information or just a great reveal or something that really speaks to us as fans, whatever it is. And we're going to go over them. We each have our own panel, as you were. And if you've ever been to a Comic-Con, you know that they always have panels where they have the different stars come on and talk about different things. So let's start with Troy, and we're going to go one by one. So what's the first thing that caught your eye? What did you get excited about, Troy?
Well, the first thing is probably the thing that won Comic-Con.
Yes. There was no competition. There was no
competition because these people killed it. They killed it. It was the best panel of the entire weekend because Spaceballs is back, people. That's right. And I think the coolest thing about this is that one, Rick Moranis, who had left acting in order to take care of his family. Aww. Right after Belsky passed, right, from cancer. That was in the late 90s. So he's been away from acting for a very, 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 very long time. And he was announced that he will be reprising his role as Dark Helmet. And during the panel, while they were trying to bring people up to the stage, they couldn't find Rick Moranis. And so they literally had someone go out and do the bit from the first movie where they combed the desert. Mm-hmm. So they actually had somebody with a comb in the audience, combing the audience up and down the aisles. That's and they funny. Started showing all of the cosplay people that dressed up as Dark Helmet. And so they're like, is this Dark Helmet? And then they had him flip their helmet up, and it wasn't Rick Moranis, and it wasn't Rick Moranis, and it wasn't Rick Moranis. And they did this for 2-3 minutes or whatever. And then finally they found one that actually was Rick Moranis, and it was the big reveal. And then Rick came up on stage and joined everybody. So I thought that was really cool for him to come back in this kind of big reveal kind of way for being away from for so long. But the panel also parodied modern superhero marketing. During part of the presentation, they actually announced that they're going to bring out the Almighty Schwartz Saga. Yes, that is the acronym for ASS. So the whole ASS or asshole Spaceballs saga. They actually planned out an entire decades, 30 years into the future with Spaceballs, the next Spaceballs, Spaceballs, the Spaceballs after that, and just all kinds of fake movie titles. It was amazing. To the point where they actually went to and here's the comic book games, and then here's the video games that are coming. You have to go see the picture online. It's fantastic. It's
I saw that video where they're expanding out a whole all around the room. Whole
H, all the way around. What's the timeline? It was fantastic. And obviously Mel Brooks is the creator behind Spaceballs originally.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Yeah. 100 years old, and he actually beamed in via video message joking about nerds and trading Pokemon cards, and confirmed that yogurt will return via motion capture in the new movie. We also got new cast and characters announced. Josh Gad will be playing a new Mog. It's a distinct difference from John Candy's Barf previously. Kiki Palmer will star as Destiny, a parody of modern sci-fi franchise leads like Rey from Star Wars. And Daphne Zwinga is back reprising her role as Queen Vespa. So
that was the most exciting. I didn't know for sure if she, I know that they said she was going to be there, but I hadn't seen a whole lot about her coming.
Yeah. So I'm glad she's coming. Very quiet on it. So yeah, it was a really cool panel, really exciting stuff.
Lewis Pullman also, I don't know if they announced his character, but he read a letter from his dad who couldn't be there, which was a great moment. I saw that one. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah. But the movie's coming, get ready. Spaceballs, another a new one, I believe is the exact title.
The new one. Rick Moranis really got a standing ovation, by the way, which was very, very cool.
Yeah, I tried to get a pass for that panel, but I, and there was no way I was getting in line for Hall H.
I'm reading this one wrong. I assume this was going to be one of those legacy sequels that nobody really wanted to see. It's like too long. It's too this or that. It really sounds like I am just way off on this one. Like Spaceballs 2 is very big news. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, I think especially with the return of Rick Moranis, I think that's also like a huge draw for a lot of people too.
Yeah, and the fact that it's got so much buzz now coming out of Comic-Con, I think it reinvigorates, and you'll see a lot of like movement on people rewatching the original as they prep up for the release.
Yeah, that's exciting. I mean, look, I'm not a huge baseball fan, but I do love the ass joke. That's cool. That's funny. I love the cinematic roadmap. I saw it, and it was just hysterical because that's basically what I think of every time I see a Marvel one. I'm like, number one, you haven't followed a roadmap yet, idiots. So stop putting out there for 5 years. They were like, and even I'm just jumping it all over the place, but Marvel said at one point, we've got a roadmap till 2042. Shut up. Shut up. Where's Blade? Where's Blade? That's all I got to say. Your roadmap sucks. So I love that they made fun of that and that they had a good time with it, because it's about time somebody made a really good joke of that, because their roadmap is ass. Good job.
Right.
That's cool. What else got you excited?
I'm really geeked out about Dark Matter on Apple TV, because Dark Matter season one was pretty much the entire book from what they had put together previously. And it's really exciting that Blake Crouch actually decided to move on with doing a second season of the TV show, because it's actually the 10th anniversary of the novel this year. And so we're going to see basically right where we picked up from the end of season one, right? Jason, Daniela, and Charlie are settled into their new world, and they've actually like started to number the worlds now. So they're currently living in world number 26. But new threats are going to emerge, obviously, because we need some plot for a season. Jason's going to get more obsessed with the box, and Daniela is going to start to unravel with all of the jumping they need to do and her family falling apart. We also get the teases that we got at the end of the first season with Ryan ending up on the world that Amanda was on. So Amanda and Ryan are going to team up and try to get back home. And then Blair actually finds purpose and decides to leave the world she's on and starts to traverse again to prevent Layton from actually creating the perfect world. So a lot of exciting things that could be done in the Dark Matter universe, and really glad that Blake decided to keep it going.
Yeah, I did attempt to watch the first episode of this. They had a special like late night screening, but after that episode started, I couldn't tell you what happened. I just remember seeing the credits because I was exhausted that night.
Yeah, Kyle was tired. The episode wasn't bad. Just clarification.
I got to tell you, man on the street, so far we've got, I couldn't get in and I fell asleep. I don't know if you're holding up your end of the deal here.
I'm the man off to the side on the street trying to find a spot.
Oh, well, and you stole Reacher from me, by the way. You got to the format before I did when you were picking your items.
Well, I did actually attend that panel, though.
Oh, well, that's
so even, I was the man on the street for that panel.
Good, good.
Oh, yeah, Dark Matter Season 2 will drop in August.
I haven't watched that show. I did see... I'm sorry, say the date again. I cut you off.
Dude, do it.
What's the date again?
It'll drop August 23rd, 24th, somewhere that week. Okay. But yeah, definitely we'll go watch it. Watch it, watch it, watch it. It's so good.
I might, but you love sci-fi way more than I do, so I don't know.
I wouldn't call it sci-fi. It's more...
Multiverse, which you also love.
It's multiverse, but not in the way we think of multiverse. It's a completely different take.
Does
on
he
the
play
multiverse.
Multiple characters of the same character?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm not going to watch it. Thank you, though. Continue.
But it's a love story. It's not a multiverse
care.
Story.
I don't care. That just means multiple. So it's a poly love story. Cool. I'm not interested. It's not for me.
I mean, if you want to, you could pick up a controller and pretend you're playing Hard Rain and just go, Jason.
I do
Jason,
like. I do
Jason.
Like Hard Rain. That was pretty good.
Because there's that many Jasons. All right. Avatar.
You just sold me 100% on not watching this thing ever. Like, you did everything you could to sell me on not watching it. That was I don't know. It's like you don't even know me when you're making a sales pitch. You're like, oh, there's so many Jasons. You'll love it.
It's a reason why they're there, though. It makes sense. That's the cool part about it. They actually get the multiverse right for the first time.
I am so done with multiverses. You heard me, Marvel. I'm sick of them. Go ahead. Sorry. What's next?
Avatar, not the blue people, the real Avatar, the one that started the whole anime craze 20 years ago. It's back. That's right. Avatar Aang has debuted in a movie that is bridging the gap between the original series and The Legend of Korra. The movie actually debuted on Paramount Plus on July 24th. We won't talk about the kerfuffle that has the movie has been with it getting leaked online previously and then only opening in two theaters, one in New York and one in LA, just to be award nominated. Because it should have been in the theater because it was actually really good. I did see that. We'll talk about that later. But they did feature some stuff from the movie. The event included special fan screening in Ballroom 20 the night before the film got its global release. Michael and Brian obviously were there from the creator perspective, and Lauren Montgomery was there from the movie direction perspective. So lots of good people having conversations. But then Paramount also threw out an activation for the Avatar universe. So they basically had an arcade game and some other interactive experiences. The arcade game was actually Cabbage Cart Madness. So if anybody's a fan of the series, you know about the My Cabbages guy. And so they did stuff around the cabbage cart, which is cool.
They did have something in the Paramount Lodge for that too, where you could take a photo of you dropping the cabbage cart and letting them spill all over the place.
Oh, that's amazing. I was told it would have been there. That's great.
You guys can be speaking Latin as far as I'm concerned. I have no idea what you guys are saying.
But of course, they also gave the teaser for the broader expansion of the Avatar universe when the new series, 26 episodes, I believe it will be in totality, will be called Avatar Seven Havens as the new Avatar from the Earth Kingdom comes into being.
Is that Paramount Plus too? Like that'll be on?
Assuming it'll be on Paramount Plus because it was Nickelodeon originally.
Okay.
Which is interesting, obviously, because the live action Avatar Last Airbender original series is taking place on Netflix currently. The second season just wrapped. But yeah, I believe this will be on Paramount to start.
I was very surprised being on Paramount Plus. They didn't have, you know, like a Dexter Resurrection booth or something along those lines. Cause that Dexter's pretty huge at these conventions. So I was kind of surprised that they didn't do that.
So they did have the lodge, for Paramount Plus, and they had the thing on the show floor, which was that, Cabbage Cart Madness arcade game that, they had that going on the convention floor, but the lodge had, it had Strange New Worlds. It had Avatar Aang. It had Dutton Ranch, South Park, and the UFC on Paramount Plus in the,
most currently airing shows.
I mean, Dutton Ranch is done for the, that's already ended. That ended like a month ago, but okay. I mean, they've also got Mobland coming back soon too. I just feel like, you know, maybe they could have promoted, I don't think Dutton Ranch is going to be a huge freaking hit at the San Diego Comic-Con. That's just weird. Dexter would be, you know what I mean?
Well, it was a hit because that's the only food. They had branded sliders that were branded with the Dutton Ranch logo on them. So you wanted food, you went to the lodge to get your free slider.
Did I tell you this? When I went to that other festival, South by Southwest last year, and they have a Paramount Lodge there too. Because Kyle and I are always joking about, what'd you see at your Paramount Lodge? And they had Landman at that one, and they had this fake oil rig where, and it was just a stupid, like, who's getting excited by a fake oil pump? I mean, that was the prop in the middle of the thing. We didn't care because they were giving drinks away, but the oil thing was just dumb. I'm like, I get the ambiance, but they're like, come over here and work an oil pump. I'm like, nah, I'm good, man.
Dutton Ranch, they had two, like, hail bay things, and you could race who could pull the hail bay across the track fastest. You were the person next to you. So there was a little race thing there.
Did you do it?
I did, and I lost. Oh, but
sorry, man.
There was also a photo op for that, you sitting in, like, a rocking chair.
I think that means Rip gets to kick your ass. That's the deal. All right, talk about the one you really are dying to talk about, Troy. Come on.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Silo is back. Season 3 is currently airing. They had a panel, cast and showrunners present, Rebecca Ferguson, Common, Jessica Henwick, Noah Paris, and Graham Yost were all there. Graham did reveal the timeline that Season 3 will finish, obviously, here in July and August of this summer. And then Season 4, which was filmed back-to-back with Season 3 and it just finished filming and is in post-production, will air summer 2027, and that will be the show's final season to wrap up the novel series. Common also treated the crowd to some surprise rap performances during the panel events.
He's a good rapper.
Yeah, it was good time. I'm like, Kyle, you didn't get to see the rapping, right? You were there earlier for the actual activation experience.
They had built a giant silo in a parking lot, and so they had an activation there where basically you would walk in and the like you look up and down and it looks like it's an endless silo. So like it had this sense of depth even though it was only like the single floor. But then they would like flash some lights and the guy would show you some writing on the wall, like some big emergency happened, they'd run you out of there and then they'd give you a coin and take your photo in front of the silo. So it was only like a 3-minute activation, but it was kind of immersive and fun.
Were there specific Easter eggs? Did they have like the display as a lie?
That's what they had on the wall. I think that's what was written on the wall. I forget what the words. I haven't seen past season one, so if it was related to season two or season three, I wouldn't know.
It didn't click.
Yeah.
But there was also a I'm gonna call it a spoiler, because even though they announced it at Comic-Con because he was at the panel, but it also aired like that same day when the episode dropped. So the panel was like on July 24th, I believe. And I think that was the same day that the episode dropped that day. So it wasn't really a big news because you saw the answer in the episode. But I'm not going to say what it is if people haven't seen the episode yet, because it was pretty huge.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't have it anywhere else. So I'll just mention here, Apple also did like another pop-up for Widow's Bay.
What?
It was only for one day. They built like this little tourist center, like in the middle of a lawn somewhere. I happened to be walking by at the time, and so I got in line. It went pretty quickly. So you walk up, and then there's this guy talking there. He gives you like a keychain for Widow's Bay, and then you walk up to this photo op, which is the tourist center. The woman's giving you the brochure, and you're taking their photos, and they're talking about, like, there's all these articles on the back wall about, is there really cannibalism or something like that going on? And, like, after you're done with that, then some other guy is, like, the representative. He's trying to sell you real estate. He's like, now is a great time to buy real estate in Widow's Bay.
Yeah.
And so he's, like, trying to sell you that. You can take a postcard. And there was also, like, another, like, you just stood in front of this thing, and it looked like you were, like, one of the, like, a pilgrim person. It gave you, like, the pilgrim outfit.
I think they just called those pilgrims.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was a really fun and immersive, but they didn't advertise it at all. All of a sudden I saw someone post, hey, it's up here, and I happened to be nearby. So I ran over there and got in line, but it was only up for like a few hours during the day. I think they had the cast go over and take their photos at it at some point.
And that's really why you miss Spaceballs, right?
Sure.
100%.
That's why I was actually in a press room the press room for The Librarians, the next chapter. But I also got rejected for a panel pass for...
Say that there's new librarians coming?
What's that?
Did you say that there's the new librarians coming?
Oh, the second season. There already is one. They already had it. Man. This is the problem. It's the only scripted show on TNT. And Dean Devlin has the only other scripted show on Sci-Fi, which is The Ark, which is coming back this week for season 3 or season 4. But, like, that's the problem. He gets these shows, and they're the only scripted show on a network, so no one ever hears about them.
And they're always... I like Leverage Redemption, and I actually kind of liked Librarians, even though Noah Wiley's never going to do a cameo again. But I'm just... they always look, like, cheap. You know what I mean? Like, they always look very cheaply made shows. They're very... And I get the budget's low, but you don't have to look... I mean, you can make them with an iPhone these days. Why do they always look so cheap?
But you could say it. You could say it, Aaron. They look like cable.
They look like cable soap operas is what they look like. It's just surprising how low budget they look. And I enjoy Redemption quite a bit. But yeah, they've got one set, and then they go to one neighborhood that they can apparently rent for the day for $5, and that's where they shoot every scene that you see for each episode.
But it's in some other time period, so.
Sure, sure. And it's the same in Leverage Redemption. Like, they own a bar, and then they would just film in random offices that you just know are in the same friggin' set. They're just, like, swapping around you know, it's just cheaply made. Anyway, I'm sorry. I went off on a tangent.
Well, now that Peacock is actually bundled in with your YouTube subscription, maybe I'll have to get YouTube and get cable again.
I heard that they were doing, is that an extra, that's got to be an add-on price, or is that part of?
I think it's going to be free if you subscribe to YouTube Premium.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's not bad then.
Yeah, which includes the Sunday Ticket and NBC Football are now in the same place.
Okay.
That is weird, but I don't know how that works through whatever consolidation.
I don't either.
FTC and all that jazz. Anyway, the last thing that nobody probably even remembered was actually occurring because it's been so long.
And nobody watches it.
I watch it.
Okay. Troy watches it, so everybody watches it.
They were begging people to come to this press room.
I'm sure they were.
They originally said no video, and then all of a sudden I got another... At first I got an email, you asked about this press room in 2024. Would you like to come this year? And then I got a... Oh, but now we're allowing video in the press room because originally they weren't going to allow video. And so it sounded like desperation to get people to come to this. But I hadn't seen, I haven't finished the first season. Oh, we haven't actually said the name of it.
I see a trend, though. I see a trend with you in first seasons. But go ahead, Dre. What is the show we're talking about?
Yeah, and we're not talking about Amazon Prime's Dark Tower series because that is also still mythical at this point. Yeah, that's why I'll never believe that it'll ever happen because it took 8 years for this third season to come out of this show.
And Mike Flanagan, who's supposed to be doing it, just signed on to do Warhammer 40,000. So he's going to be busy for a while.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yes, The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, will be back for a third season on November 11th, 2026. Yes, that's this year. It'll finally return after a very long hiatus. But J.D. Payne and Patrick McKay, the showrunners, were there. They debuted the new season trailer. There's going to be new cast members coming for the upcoming season. It's going to jump right into the height of the War of the Elves and Sauron basically getting Barad-dûr all set up and ready to go. The One Ring will be made in this season, from what I understand. There'll be new creatures and factions. It'll showcase the Myrmecol, the war elephants. And then you'll also see a new orc named Marnook. It'll be played by Adam Young, so check that out. But I think the one that everybody's super stoked about is that you're actually going to see the Balrog again, which will actually say words. It will speak out loud, and that voice acting will be done by the acclaimed actor, Simon Pegg.
That's actually good news. I think that's, I wouldn't call it exciting because I haven't watched but one episode and I was bored to tears. I feel like this, here's what I would equate Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power to. Obsession. That show is Nikki. It's constantly begging me to pay attention to it and I just want nothing to do with it. Everywhere I go, I feel like I see an ad for it, and they keep telling me how popular it is. I'm like, with who? Who is, I only per, and don't get me wrong, Troy, I haven't watched it, so I'm sure if you're saying it's very good, I'm sure it's very good. I haven't watched it, so I can't speak.
Didn't say it was good. I said I watched it.
Okay, fair enough.
Let's be clear.
I'm just saying I don't hear anybody. I mean, we have tens of thousands of people on our Facebook page. I never hear anybody talk about Rings of Power. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it's because it hasn't been around for like 4 years.
It's just wild.
Yeah, I mean, the first season was a little rough going. I think at the end of the first season, it picks up its stride. And then the big twist reveal at the end of the first season, I think is pretty freaking cool. The second season felt much more closer to the movies in tone with the war that starts to happen as the elves obviously are, you know, and then the dwarves obviously get taken a hold of by the powers of the rings that they possess. So yeah, if you're interested, you got two seasons already on Amazon as you get ready for November 11th later this year.
I will say I've heard that they are going to finish their, I think, a 5-season plan. Is that what it is? Because they invested like $1 billion in this. So Amazon is going to finish it. And, you know, Jeff Bezos loves him some Lord of the Rings. So I think he's doing this for himself at this point.
So in 10 years when season 5 comes out, maybe you want to start it then, because then at least you'll know you'll finish it.
Maybe. We'll see what happens. I'll probably be starting Silo by then again for like the third time. I did like Silo. I just have a hard time. Like I know it's going to end in 4 and I kind of just want to wait until it's all out and watch it at once. Just binge.
Yeah, now that you know that it's going to be next summer, like what's one more year?
Just wait it out. I'm almost there. Of course, the older I get, less chance I get of getting to that summer. You know what I mean?
We don't want you to die, but Rings of Power might not finish before you're dead.
Cholesterol is very high. I don't know what to tell you. And after that whole cruise, I don't know where it is now.
Is a killer.
Although I will say, I don't know if you know this, Troy, but we were on vacation with Tom Brady.
I saw that.
He was in Alaska.
He was in Alaska the same time we were.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we were technically on vacation with Tom Brady. That's the way I'm telling the story.
We did almost lose Aaron at one point on the Skagway Bridge.
On the Skagway Bridge?
Yeah, getting off the boat. The winds were so strong.
Oh, yeah. They were pretty. Yeah. That was quite windy. It was very windy in the one day. Then you get in the woods and it was all good.
It's a family podcast, but we definitely got railed going over that bridge.
Oh, man. That was a scary joke, but not as good as Scary Movie. You can watch the all-new extended cut of Scary Movie at home now with never-before-seen footage. You can see the Wayans coming back to their franchise. They got it back, and it's now available from Paramount. So be sure to check out Scary Movie. It is available right now, and there is an extended cut, so you definitely want to check that out. And it raked in the cash this summer, so be sure to check it out. I'm looking forward to finally seeing it. So I've been wanting to see that one all summer.
Which I think is why Spaceballs is going to do great, because the parodies did such a great job over the summer. Like, people are itching for parody movies again.
I think when they're done right and with the people that appreciate that, you get the rule is you got to make a movie first, then add the jokes instead of just
write the movie around the jokes.
Yeah. What was the guys that were doing those epic movies? Like, they were just bad parodies. I mean, thank goodness the Wayans are back. That's all I got to say. Thankfully, they're back. In fact, I don't know if you guys saw, but I think it's Damon Wayans. It went pretty viral, where he put a clip of him. It was almost like simulating those Netflix true crime documentaries where he sits on a chair and he's waiting to be interviewed. And he's just like, Damon Wayans, I'm just waiting to tell a story of why I wasn't invited to Scary Movie or something. It was pretty good. It was a good bit. All right, Kyle, it's your time. It's your panel. What do you got? Start us off.
Okay, so my very first one, Audible had a panel for Dungeon Crawler Carl. And if you're not familiar with that, they're up to 8 books so far. It's about a guy who, it's these, I guess they're aliens, take over the planet and force everyone to compete in this, like, maze death thing. So
like
they're
an 18-level maze, right? Or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so people are getting killed off each thing. And it's like a reality show for aliens to watch. So they're watching this, all these other people compete in, I guess, sort of like a Running Man, I guess, sort of like a thing. But, yeah, so the 8th book came out a couple months ago or a month ago, and there's supposed to be 2 more books, with one book, like book 9 is supposed to be split into 2 parts, and those supposed to be the end of it. But everyone, the audiobooks are amazing, which one guy, Jeff Hayes, does all the voices for the books. And so one of the main character is Carl, and his partner or sidekick is this cat named Princess Donut. And so everyone has gotten used to Jeff Hayes doing the voice of Princess Donut. So I think most fans are pleased that it was announced at this panel that for the Peacock live action series, they've now given that role to Jeff Hayes as well to voice the cat, which will be CGI. Obviously, you don't have a real talking cat.
I think Peacock's probably got one. They got that Universal money. I got a question for you, since you know the story. Are you okay with Seth MacFarlane being behind this?
I think it works, because I think, like, what he did with Ted, that worked. And, like, what he did with the Star Trek show there.
The Orville. Orville.
The Orville. Mm-hmm. I think he did it. I think it's going to be weird initially, maybe, that it's live action. I think a lot of people were initially hoping it would be animated. But yeah, I think if anyone can do it, he's proven that he can do that. That he can do a live action show that has, like, fantastical elements to it. But I think a lot of it's going to be very tough, some of the stuff that happens in it. And it also has his style of humor. Like, there's going to be a lot of adult humor in this thing. It's not made for kids. And so I think if anyone, he's the guy that could do it.
Okay. Then I will check it out. It's on Peacock. I do have YouTube Premium, but I also think I pay for Peacock because it was with Comcast. So I guess I can cancel. I got to look into that.
I don't know how quickly this is going to come. This is probably going to take a lot of time to make.
Yeah, because it just started production in June.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about like if I'm going to be able to cancel my Peacock subscription, because if I have YouTube Premium, which I got to say, I was talked into getting by Brian Williams, I think. Because he's like, you have no idea how much you're going to love this. Because I'm like, I don't want to pay for another streaming $14, da da da. And then you get it and you realize how many YouTube clips I watch. And I'm just like, that might be the best investment.
Oh, do you not have to sit through any ads if you have the YouTube Premium?
What's that?
Do you not have to sit through any ads?
None. You sit through no ads.
That sounds amazing.
It is so glorious.
That's YouTube Premium, yeah. Or that's included in the live TV service?
Nope, that's just YouTube Premium. I mean, okay. I have live TV, but it's not the same account because that is a borrowed one till they take that away. And then I just won't have TV at all. I'll just be streaming, which is still TV. So forget I said anything. What else we got?
So the next one is a panel I actually attended. One of the two panels I actually attended.
Did you stay awake for it, though? Just because you were there doesn't mean anything.
I was awake because it was like at 11 in the morning. So it was not that bad. CVS previewed. Yeah, CVS is having panels now.
That would be great. Guys, here's where you can get your Krabs medication.
And you get a long receipt as your gift for the attending the panel. So CBS, they had a combined panel for the series Ghosts and their new upcoming series called Eternally Yours. Mm-hmm. So Eternally Yours is it's centered around this family of vampires who have been together for 500 years. But they've lost all the love in their marriage. But one of their children, meets a human that she falls in love with, and that they're trying to hide their secret that they've been alive for 500 years and they're vampires. And so, once this human comes into their family, now it throws things off, but they also, like, the daughter is actually in love where the parents are so over love after 500 years, they can't stand each other, but they're still together. So it's a sitcom, but it has a very similar feeling to Ghosts, like the tone of it. And they showed the first episode at the panel, which, even though it doesn't air until, I think, sometime in October, I think, is when it premieres. So we got a really early look at the episode.
And you think it's solid, or?
Oh, yeah, I actually really enjoyed it. Okay. The cast is great. It has, like, the parents are Allegra Edwards, who is in, Upload.
Yes, she's the girlfriend, right?
Yeah, she was a girlfriend in Upload. Yep. And then it also has Ed Weeks. I forget what he was in. He plays the husband. And then the rest of the cast, it has some recognizable people, like Parker Young plays, I think, one of their sons. And
the Mindy Project. He was in the Mindy Project.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I forget. Get the other cast members, but they were recognizable from I've seen in other things. But they also announced at that panel that Ghosts will be having two. It doesn't return until mid-season, but they're going to have 2-hour-long holiday specials. So they're going to have a Halloween special as well as a Christmas special, which they said was inspired by Die Hard. So all of you people that think Die Hard is a Christmas movie, you get your Christmas special based on Die Hard for Ghosts.
Does your smart-ass comment there imply that Die Hard is not a Christmas movie?
Not in my mind.
So you just don't deal in reality at all. I got it. So, all right.
So for those of you that love Kyle, this will be his last podcast. Yeah,
there's an ejection seat. And this bitch is boom, gone. All right, get to my favorite.
Okay, so then the other panel I actually attended was for Reacher and Neigley. They had a combined panel for that. So I guess technically maybe I attended 4 panels. But so what they basically started off with Reacher. They talked about the third season, showed a trailer for the third season. And then they talked about they just talked to Alan Richman and
Richton
in general about his stuff. At one point, he even mentioned that he's in talks to play a non-Batman DC character, but didn't reveal what that character was, because he said there's lots of rumors that he's in talks to play Batman.
Oh, he gets he gets that everywhere he goes. I mean, the Batman thing. And so I did I just listened to him on, I think, Happy Sad Confused or whatever, but he went on, they were trying to get him to commit to whatever the character was going to be. And he just said, look, I've talked to James Gunn and we are talking, or he didn't say that we are talking. He's just like, I like James Gunn. We've had conversations about stuff. Maybe I'm doing something. And now, so it sounds like he committed, or he revealed in at the panel that he is definitely going to play a non-Batman.
It sounded definite to me that he's in talks to play. Like, it wasn't non-committal saying he might be in talks. He was saying he was in talks to play some character, but he said it was not Batman.
Yeah, I don't think they would do. I don't think they would do Batman, but I don't care. I'd watch him do just about anything. He got a lot of bad press because he went on a rant about his politics. But if you actually listen to the whole interview, it wasn't that bad. It was actually pretty direct. Like, you know, we shouldn't be tolerable of certain of just nonsense. And that's really all he was saying. And I thought it was a pretty, pretty fair take, honestly. And every time I listen to an interview with him, I just think, and I obviously met him, so I'm biased at this point. I've had a long conversation with Alan Ritchson, and I think he's a very good guy. So I'm just very happy he's still playing Reacher. And last I heard, he's willing to play him for like 10 years. If the audience is still there.
Yeah, and the people on the panel and the host was Damian Holbrook. They were all saying so many positive things about him and how he's like a real guy, and they all loved working with him. But they did also announce at that panel that the fifth season was going to be based on the book Make Me. I'm not familiar with the books. Maybe you know that one.
I do not. I know the name of the book. I don't know the story. I haven't read all of them. I've only read a lot of them because there's like 30 of them at this point. But the next piece of news is, I think, the coolest news.
Yeah. So they also announced, then when they got into the Neegley half, they announced that Neegley is actually going to get a book for that character written by Lee Child called Zero Margin. And that's going to come out next year. So she'll actually start getting her own book series as well.
Which I love about, and it's Neely, just so you know, but oh, just,
sorry.
So no, I mean, usually I'm the one getting corrected, so it's okay. But Neely is a great character. And when this show got announced, there's a lot of people who are excited because Maria Sten, I think, does an awesome job of bringing Neely to life. Yeah. Frances Neely, if you will, the 110. And she, one of the chief complaints was, she's not even a main character. She only shows up in some book. Well, now she's got her own book, suckers. So you can't use that anymore. So now it completely fits. And I think it's awesome because I love that character. And I think Maria Sten has really done a great job of making a character that only shows up really once in a great while, somebody that you can't wait till they show up in Reacher. And also, Kyle, as I know you did, I came home to screeners of Reacher season 4 and Neely. And I'm already barreling away. I can't, we're under embargo, but I will say, hasn't missed a beat.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to watch Neely at all, but yeah, Reacher season 4. No, not a review, reaction, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, there you go. See,
same as what you expect from this show, nonstop action.
I can't wait to check out Neely. I was actually going to do Neely first because I, for review purposes.
That's the interesting thing. Apparently, Neely was supposed to lead into Reacher, but they changed their mind and they're airing them in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds like they made a change to Neely so that that doesn't happen anymore. Because I watched the Reacher season. And there's no Neely connection at all in there. That's why I was wondering why they were airing him that way. I thought he would lead into that. But apparently they're originally supposed to air in the opposite order, but they wanted to lead in with Reacher.
What I do like is he's back to being, I mean, and it happened in season 3 too, but he's really back to where it's just his mission and he meets people along the way. But that's the beauty of Reacher. Each season is completely different. And
the problem is they make you love these characters that help them out and then you don't see them again.
But I was talking about this with my wife. She and I are on the same page that it is fun waiting to see if one of them might just pop up for an episode or something in the season. You know, I wish they would do a little more of that because that does happen in the books quite a bit where a character he talked to or dealt with before comes back in a different book. It's kind of what Neely's character does. So I would like a little bit of that, but I do think they're making the right call in the release pattern because season 4 comes out on August 12th. And it goes, you know, drops 3 episodes, then it's week to week until it finishes. And then I I think it's the next week, or maybe it's that same day. I can't remember that, but September 16th is when Neely drops, and that one drops all at once. And the reason,
there was a fun moment in the panel where he was saying, "Oh, mine drops weekly," and she's like, "Mine drops all at the same time, so you don't have to wait for it."
Exactly, and I think that's smart. They did that with Reacher season one, and that's kind of what got people hooked and talking. And then when they came back, which is what Amazon does a lot, they'll drop them all for the first season. Then you come back, then they've got you hooked, and they want to keep, you know, baiting the hook. And I actually think that works. So looking forward to it. All right. So that's Reacher. And then you got the guy who's going to do Warhammer and apparently has never met a Stephen King adaptation he didn't want to take on.
Yep. So Mike Flanagan, he showcased his adaptation of Stephen King's Carrie, which I believe is 8 episodes.
Yeah,
And will premiere in October. So it's the same story that we've seen a million times about this girl that discovers she has like telekinetic powers, and she's being bullied and harassed at school that makes those things come out, and the rage comes out and builds to some surprise event. So I don't know if he's going to be changing some stuff, but I think also this will have a more modern take, where now you have all this like cyberbullying of kids like on social media, so that wasn't around when the original story was created. So I can see this having an interesting new take for the modern era, and a way to work that in and make it feel a little bit new, even though this is what, like the 4th or 5th iteration we've seen.
Man, of this.
Take a 2-hour story and let's make it 6 hours longer, just so we can have people cyberbully people.
Yeah, I just feel like this is what this is going to be. Every episode is her getting bullied harder and harder. Every episode she has one telekinesis breakout where her powers get stronger and stronger up until they get to prom or whatever. I feel like that's what it's going to be, and I just. Troy, you and I
that's,
both.
That's early copy of the script I saw.
It's too freaking long, right? Like this.
It does not need to be. It does not need to be an 8-episode thing.
This better be amazing. I love Mike Flanagan. I think he's a great adapter of Stephen King's work. So shame on me for not trusting him. I just don't care about Carrie. I just don't.
You're on her hit list.
Yeah. And her mom's. I don't want this. Troy, do you want this at all?
No, I want the Dark Tower.
I do too. He's doing this, and he's going to do a remake of The Mist, or a reimagining of The Mist. He's doing that too. I'm like, why are you doing stuff we don't need? Go do the thing people want.
Like, give us something new that we haven't seen already a bunch of times.
Yes, and no matter what you do with Dark Tower, I promise you, it'll be new, because what they did in the movie, even though I kind of enjoyed it, is not the Dark Tower as I understand it. So, not true. Even though Troy liked the movie at the time, I think he's.
I didn't love the movie, but if that's the only thing I'm ever going to get visually over the books, I'll take it.
Yeah, so my last panel is for DC's Lanterns, which debuted some new footage and a new trailer for this upcoming series, which it's being described as like a True Detective in the DC world. It's about these two Lanterns, a new recruit, John Stewart, and a Lantern legend, Hal Jordan, who are investigating some Earth-based mystery. And so I actually watched the trailer for. I know I don't typically watch trailers, but it looked really interesting and exciting. So it does feel like your typical detective type of story, but with this whole alien twist to it. So it brings in the Manhunters, who are shape-shifting aliens, who are the potential villains for this story. So you don't know what they look like. They could look like anything. And so they're trying to figure out they're investigating a murder in the American heartland.
Real important question, because I haven't watched the new trailer. In brightest day and blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Did you hear those words at any point?
Yes. Okay. They say that in the trailer.
Okay. Just making sure it's there.
Oh, believe me. We said, I went to the Lanterns. I can talk about it some more. I went to the Lanterns activation, and we got to say that while holding our rings up in the air. So
that's cool.
It was very inspiring. It was an oddly inspiring moment when you're doing that.
For people that are fans of the Green Lantern.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool people. Yeah.
I think this is the first time Green Lantern is going to be cool, though, because Kyle Chandler.
I mean, okay.
Kyle Chandler being there immediately got me actually interested in watching the show. And I'm not usually a big DC person.
That's what got you interested?
Yeah.
What I liked about this, it was more grounded. It looked more grounded than your typical like superhero show.
Yeah, it looked more like, what was it, the Gifted?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
The Gifted, right? The X-Men?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see Lanterns. I think DC's got some work to do, if I'm being honest. I really think they kind of... on Supergirl, that should not have been their next movie. Even though I enjoyed it, I just don't... I never understood, why do you follow up Superman with just another superhero named, you know, superhero? Because there's so many characters in the DC universe. Do something different, man. But, you know, they went how they went, and they got the results that they didn't want. So really hoping Lanterns does well, and it can lead to maybe a Green Lantern movie that doesn't suck. But on a side note, I do kind of want to tie that back to Rebecca Ferguson from Silo, because I don't know if you noticed, but one of the interviews, she's wearing a Supergirl shirt the whole time. She's actually wearing a Supergirl shirt. And then she asked if... The interviewer said, "Oh, you're a fan." She basically just said, "I was it good?" And because she hadn't seen it yet, and they said, "Yeah, it was good." She's like, "Good, because that would suck if I wore this and it was shit." And I thought that was actually a pretty funny little candid moment if you could find it. Was Richson in Little Lantern's trailer? Because that's a non-Batman character.
Which actor is that?
Alan Richson. He would be the guy who plays Reacher.
Yeah, that's what I thought you meant, but I don't recall seeing him in the trailer. They did have Nathan Fillion in the trailer.
Nathan did pop up.
Of course Nathan Fillion's going to be. That makes sense. Guy Gardner? Sure. I mean, it makes sense. Maybe he'll be Neighbor Whoop-Ass Man. Maybe he'll be that guy in the DC universe. Nobody? Nobody watches TMZ? Okay, fine. Whatever. We're going to move on. Five people got that joke listening, and I appreciate it. All right, so we're going to move on to my panel, and it's going to start with Marvel. All right, so we got our first look at Avengers Doomsday. The first trailer dropped, and I will say you get to hear Robert Downey Jr. do his Dr. Doom voice, and it sounds very Arnold Schwarzenegger. It sucks. I'm sorry. I know that is not what the fans want to hear, but my God, is it a lot. I know it's supposed to be Hungarian or something, but it just sounds very Arnold. It's almost like if I was watching Tropic Thunder and that particular actor decided, I'm going to play Dr. Doom now. That's how I feel like it would sound like. Sorry.
Maybe they need enough backlash and they'll change it like they changed Sonic.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know how much backlash. I mean, there are people saying, oh, it sounds great. I'm like, if you like Arnold Schwarzenegger, who doesn't? You know, who doesn't love Arnold Schwarzenegger? There was other confirmation, like Peggy Carter is going to be in Doomsday, and you're going to get Chris Evans back, but he's going to be Nomad. And a lot of people were like, well, what's Nomad? It is confirmed. He's not Captain America. He's still Steve Rogers, but not Captain America. So for anybody that doesn't know, in the Marvel Secret Empire storyline, Steve Rogers gave up his Captain America identity and he became Nomad, the man without a country. Because he refused to represent a government he no longer trusted. So Steve adopted a new costume and continued fighting for justice on his own terms. And I feel like if you really watch the whole evolution of Captain America, it feels like that's fair for it to be heading this way, even though Chris Evans really didn't want to come back. He was very good, and he was very insistent he wasn't going to take anything away from Anthony Mackie, which I think we can all appreciate. That's pretty cool. But the Nomad era highlighted one of the character's defining traits. His loyalty is not to politicians or institutions, but to the ideals of freedom, integrity, and doing what is right, even when it means standing alone. Love it. I'm very excited about that. Does anyone else care about this? I think this is a great development.
Yeah, I think it's great because in the clip that we got to see with the early teasers, right, it did say Steve Rogers will return. It didn't say Captain America will return.
Correct. But you do, if you watch the trailer, you're going to see a lot of characters. You're going to see a lot of various characters. You know, you're going to get some of the X-Men. So there's a multiverse issue here at play that ties into Dr. Doom, of course. You know that there's going to be a tie in to Tony Stark in a different dimension of some sort. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of that. The one problem I have with the trailer is it's so reliant on nostalgia. And I realize, man, if you say anything negative about Marvel, you're just, you hate it. I don't hate it. I'm just sick of everything being nostalgia. You guys, you got Robert Downey Jr. back. You got Chris Evans back. You got everybody that's ever been in a Marvel movie back, even the ones that weren't Marvel. I get it. But you've milked nostalgia too much already. Like, give me something good. The story has got to deliver. I don't care how many characters pop up and I'm like, oh, that character showed up and that character showed up. That's not a movie to me anymore. I'm tired of it. So you got to give me a real story. That's what I'm worried about with the trailer. I don't know if you feel the same.
See, the nostalgia is the only reason I'm still going to go see it.
I mean, that's probably fair. I mean, because you don't have a bunch of new characters that are really popping for people, or they're not giving them a fair. Shang-Chi should have already had a sequel. He still doesn't have one. But meanwhile, we got Eternals and nobody even talks about them. You didn't see them in this trailer, did you? Like, ain't nobody from that movie showing up. So it's only people that are fan favorites. And that just feels like desperation to me.
But Xavier and Magneto will be there.
Fan favorites.
And that's hot.
Fan favorites. Also, maybe they should retire. I mean, they've been doing, I'd rather have McAvoy back, honestly, at this point. I really would. I loved McAvoy.
Different universe.
It's the same freaking universe. If you're going to have Stewart and McKellen, that's the same unit. What are you talking about? Stop drinking before the show. So you got that. Then you got some really huge news, which is Ryan Gosling is Ghost Rider. So we got 6 degrees of Eva Mendez because she was in, you know, the first movie. You know, so she ended up with Johnny Blaze in all universes. What? But yeah, he is cast. If you don't know, Johnny Blaze is a stunt motorcyclist who made a deal with a demon to save someone he loved. And now he's Ghost Rider, the supernatural spirit of vengeance. So by night, he transforms into a flaming skulled antihero wielding hellfire, an enchanted chain, and a terrifying penance stare, hunting down the wicked while battling the curse that binds him to darkness. I think Ghost Rider is a good character for Ryan Gosling. He can do dark just as well as he can do light. And he's got a good sense of what the Marvel sense of humor is. I mean, it really, really does. Like, he's very Chris Evans in that respect. Like, Chris Evans can walk the line as well between stoic and jovial. And I think you're going to get that with Ryan Gosling. The guy just wins. And the movie's going to be directed by Sean Levy, who did Deadpool versus Wolverine. And, you know, he was directed many Stranger Things episodes, some of the best ones. So that's pretty exciting.
And if you miss us in theaters, you can see it on Ryan Gosling Plus, because now he owns Disney because he's on both sides of the slash.
What are you even talking about?
I'm trying to figure that out myself.
Because it's in Star Wars, too.
You're trying so hard to make this joke work, and I don't understand it. So please explain it to me. He's got
Star Wars and Marvel under his belt now.
Well, next year. Sure. Yeah, I guess. All right. I mean, I feel like it took a while to get there, but we arrived. Feels like White House Correspondents Dinner all over again.
Disney Plus is just Star Wars and Marvel stuff?
I don't know. I haven't fired mine up. I think Bear Grylls is the only thing I've watched on any time recently.
Nat Geo.
Also, other news. So, David Johnson. I love this guy. He was in The Long Walk. He was in Alien Romulus, too, but to hell with that movie. He was in The Long Walk. Fantastic film. One of my favorites of last year. And he is the new son of King T'Challa. So he is Prince T'Challa. He is going to be the new Black Panther for Black Panther 3, which was confirmed for December 15th, 2028. And Ryan Coogler is coming back. I think he's a great casting choice. I guess time just doesn't matter in Wakanda, because, I mean, I feel like that's quite a jump ahead. The only thing I don't like about this news is Letitia Wright just became Black Panther in Wakanda Forever, and now she's already gonna not be Black Panther by the end of Black Panther 3, or maybe they're going to be one Black Panther, right? So I don't know. I don't know if that's fair. I feel like she should have gave her own movie first.
Yeah, I mean, I like David Johnson. Like in The Long Walk, he was great, and same with Alien Romulus. Then I also saw him recently in some Agatha Christie movie. I think he's a really good dramatic actor. The one thing I question is he going to be able to do like the action star? Does he have that in him? But I mean, he was sort of, I guess, an alien, but he was more of a robot character. So we never got to see him like really with like emotions and doing like the action part of it.
Does he need to be an action hero? Because it's just going to be masked down anyway.
That's probably
true.
Yeah, it's going to be a CGI pounce. That's what it's going to be. You know, an AI just to make people go. Arr! But yeah, I think he'll be fine because, like Troy said, most of the action is going to be in suit, so that should be okay. I just think he's a very strong actor, and he can also do humor. He did a lot in The Long Walk, like a lot of different facets. So I think he can do just about anything, and he's pretty ripped. So he'll be good.
I just still hope there's a clamoring for it. Like it's like the Black Panther is just so like drawn out from the last one. You almost kind of forgot that Wakanda existed.
It's been a minute, right? Since the last one. And it has been a minute, but I think it'll be okay. Now you were roaming around San Diego Comic-Con. Was there a lot of buzz about Avengers Doomsday after the panel? I mean, were people excited? I'm kind of curious how anybody took the news based on anything you heard.
I mean, there seemed to be some buzz. The Marvel panel was, I don't know if you heard the news about all the people that didn't get in that were in the line.
No, tell a story, man.
So what they do at Comic-Con now is they have a line to get wristbands for the next day's panels. So basically people line up the day before and then at 7 p.m. they start handing out wristbands for them to come back at 7 a.m. to get back in line for Hall H for the next day. Apparently there was some major disaster with the wristbands for the Saturday Marvel panel where basically if you have the wristband and you get back by 7 a.m., you're supposed to be guaranteed to get into the room for that day, like the first panel for that day. But hundreds of people that had the wristbands did not get into the Marvel panel, which was like at 5 o'clock. So that means all day long, they waited all day the previous day. Then they waited in line after they were supposed to get back at 7 a.m. Then they waited all the way until 5 p.m. and still didn't get into the Marvel panel. And so there was some rumors that maybe somebody had like counterfeit wristbands that messed things up, but they still haven't figured out what exactly happened. But hundreds of people that should have been in that room and waited all day long to get in that room did not.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That is terrible. Oh, that's
so that seemed to overshadow some of the news about what actually happened in that panel.
Well, I mean, at least they had, you know, a lot of the cast there, including Denim Gray Deadpool, which I thought was fantastic that Ryan Reynolds was walking around Comic-Con, and he's got there. The funny thing is like after this happened, you started seeing people popping up with pictures of with him and everything else. And even one lady said that he whispered he was Ryan Reynolds as he walked away, and she didn't believe him until after he showed up in Hall H. Because Deadpool did show up at the panel to ask a question. And it was basically alluding to like, so filming's wrapped, right? No chance for any additional photography or anybody else to show up kind of thing. And which was, I thought, a pretty funny moment. Not as funny as I'd hoped, but it was still pretty funny. And it was cool to see just him walking around the crowd.
Yeah, I think they also made some comment about him being a Wrexham fan or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, Paul Rudd, why is Thor crying? And he said he's a Wrexham fan? That's pretty funny. Good stuff. And it was obviously a rehearsed bit, but it's still pretty funny. Okay, and I think any other, you know, Marvel news that was worth coming? We didn't hear anything about a Blade rolling out. I'll tell you that. That didn't happen, but we did hear Kevin Feige say that they have a plan to like 2042. They just have, oh Jesus. It's just so ridiculous at this point. All right. So the next thing is Onslaught, which is, if you're wondering like, what is this? Well, Onslaught had a panel at San Diego Comic-Con, and it's a movie directed by Adam Wingard. Now, if you don't know who Adam Wingard is, shame on you. Because I love Adam Wingard. He did Your Next. He did The Guest. The Guest was the first South by Southwest I went to, maybe. I can't remember if it was the first one or one of the early ones. That wasn't the first, maybe the second. But I went and saw this movie randomly, and it became one of my favorite movies of the year, and it's still one of my favorite throwback movies. It's a throwback to 80s sci-fi flicks about a super soldier named David, played by Dan Stevens, and the movie was directed by Adam Wingard. Well, now Adam Wingard is, you know, he walked away from Godzilla. This is awesome. He walked away from directing Godzilla 3 to do this tiny, tiny little independent action horror flick called Onslaught. I freaking kind of love this. It stars Adria Arona, Rebecca Hall, Alex Piera is in this. It's written by Simon Barrett, who wrote The Guest. It's directed by Adam Wingard, who wrote The Guest. It comes out September 4th, and it stars, like I said, Adria Arona and Dan Stevens. Now, there's been several trailers. It's about, the plot is an army sniper is protecting her daughter from genetically engineered super soldiers like David. That's all I'm saying. And then when they asked Dan Stevens at the panel, is this a sequel to The Guest? He said it's a spiritual sequel, whatever that means. I don't know what it means. All I know is it sounds like a sequel to me. And I really, really, really want it to be. And I'm probably going to be disappointed if I get there and it's not. But the fact that he said that at San Diego Comic-Con made me wet myself with excitement. Like, I was already excited for this. I love The Guest, probably at a level that's very uncomfortable for many people. And if there's any connection whatsoever, I will be a very, very happy man.
Is he playing the same character name, or is he not in it?
They haven't said who he's playing.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's supposed to be like a secret, which makes it sound like it's going to be a sequel to The Guest. You know, I mean, because if I don't want to spoil it what ends at the end, but it's entirely possible it's a sequel. So, and if you've never seen that movie, God, go watch it, man. I mean, No One's Safe. I love that. I love that he does kill people that you absolutely think they're gonna live. They don't. I think that's great. I just love that movie, and Dan Stevens was so good at it. He's like the most charming devil. I love that movie. But anyway, so there's that one. You know, there's some other news that Amazon released the first major look at Blade Runner 2099, starring Michelle Yeoh and Hunter Schafer. I don't know. I mean, can I just ask, this is coming out this November, and all the episodes release on Prime at once, which doesn't sound too promising for the show. Does anybody want this? I mean, I gotta say, like, even Blade Runner 2049 or whatever, it was well made, but Denis Villeneuve is not involved with this. This is back to Ridley Scott, and I just don't have faith Ridley Scott has more than just a pretty cinematic in him anymore.
But he can release 12 different versions of it so that you can...
That's true. Are you guys, either one of you, excited about it? You can both love sci-fi. Are either one of you excited
about it? I haven't been excited by either Blade Runner movie.
I've never been a Blade Runner fan.
Okay. Well, I'm sure someone is, but Apple TV Plus unveiled their first trailer for Neuromancer, which is the William Gibson cyberpunk classic that's coming to life. That's actually sounds pretty exciting. I will say we did get this news right around the time of the panels, and I think this is really, really sad, is that God of War, you know, the PlayStation game that's becoming a Prime series, they had hired Ryan Hurst to play Kratos?
Yep.
How do you say it?
Kratos.
Kratos, thank you. I don't play that game. But Ryan Hurst is playing Kratos, or he was, but he got a quad injury or something, tore his bicep, I'm sorry, during a stunt on the show. And so this is, I mean, it's like a week or two ago this happened. It's actually a little old news, but I saw God of War and some of the San Diego Comic-Con stuff, and I just wanted to mention this. So they recast him. Like, he was the lead in this extremely expensive show, and they're recasting him. And they haven't done it, I don't think, official yet, but by the time you hear this. But man, is that messed up or what?
Yeah, I don't know what's worse, like putting the production on hold for the injury to heal.
Which takes months, 4 to 6 months.
Yeah, losing money that way. Or reshooting everything you already shooted and spending that much more money. Because what are you going to do? Like, change the story? All of a sudden Kratos dies and gets reborn because he's a god and can take another shape?
Number one, reshooted? I can't let that go. Like, there's no chance I'm letting that go. Reshooted?
I'm still on Alaska time. I'm tired.
It's reshotted? I don't know. You do you, though, man. You
redo their work.
Sure, sure.
Now, which one's more expensive, hold or redo? I don't know.
The problem is then you have to try to get everyone else to if you hold it.
Bench it for 4 weeks, you know, 4 months, whatever it ends up being to fix it. Shoot the scenes out of order.
Fair enough.
You know, and it doesn't need his bicep in there.
Fair enough. Okay, so wrapping up with Marvel news, I do want to say Avengers Endgame Encore, which is going to have some new footage, is re-releasing in theater September 25th. So you got that. Ghost Rider is slated for 2028. Black Panther 3 is scheduled for December 15th, 2028. And Avengers Doomsday, or Doomsday, as it were, is still planning. They are committed to the December 18th release date. They are not budging. So that and Dune 3 will be coming out the same day. So which one do you see in the theater, I ask? Guys, I'm going to see Doomsday because I don't care about Dune enough. But
why not all of them?
I'm saying you could, but you got to see one first. I don't know if there's a theater playing both at the same time, although that would be freaking wicked.
I will see whichever ones I can squeeze together back to back. It'll just depend on, especially the 3D showings, you're limited to which ones you could choose.
You have a problem. So. Like, has anyone ever told you this? You have a 3D problem.
Yeah, stop trying to make 3D happen.
quit trying to make 3D happen. Anne Rice, they are Queen of the Damned. So it's Interview with the Vampire season 4, whatever, but Queen of the Damned is coming back. And that was massive news. Like, people lost their freaking mind that is coming back for Queen Akasha, right? I think it is. So that's pretty cool.
I just find it weird how they rename the show each season.
Well, aren't they named after the books though?
But it's still, like, it was Interview with the Vampire for the first two seasons. Then it became The Vampire Lestat for the third season. And now it's going to be Queen of the Damned for the fourth season.
Yeah, Sheila Tim is going to be playing Aaliyah's role, as I like to say. Because I loved Aaliyah. I loved her. But no, she's apparently, fans love her, so that's great news. I do think that's pretty... Does it bother you? I mean, what would you rather have? Like, Interview with the Vampire season 1, season 2, season 3, season 4?
Just make it a new show. Because it's just confusing, like, especially if you're trying to set stuff on your TiVo, for those of us with 20-year-old devices. Like, you're trying to, it's just confusing to how to record it if they keep changing the name. I guess maybe call it Interview with the Vampire : Queen of the Damned or something. If you're going to keep the same show name or something. If you're going to call it like season 4.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I guess I get that.
Or they should have just called it Anne Rice Universe : Interview with the Vampire to begin with or something.
This is one thing from San Diego Comic-Con that isn't really movie or TV related, but is exactly movie or TV related, which is... They announced that Indiana Jones and the Sword of Pandemonium is coming out, and that's like it's a surprise 5-issue Marvel Comics miniseries. It's starting in December from Jason Aaron, I think, wrote it. But I was a huge fan of the Marvel Indiana Jones comics as a kid. I have all of them. I still have all of them. Don't rob me. And I am extremely excited for this to come out. In the nerd in me, it was stoked to hear that they were going to do this. And so I don't get a new Indiana Jones movie or a reboot, even though Gosling would be great. Might as well put him in every Disney universe, right? Like Troy said, just cover all the bases. But I'm excited to see a new story from that, as well as they're doing, I think, some Star Wars books, graphic novels, with a comic series with characters from the original trilogy and Rogue One. So, I mean, there's a lot of work to read that is coming out that isn't just streaming or movies, which, hey, if you like to read, people still do that, right?
I think so.
Okay. There you go. And no, Audible doesn't count as reading. It's just
listening.
It's listening. Yep.
It's reading with your ears.
It's theater of the mind.
Yes. Exactly. But would you say, Kyle, as we close up the San Diego Comic-Con conversation, I should have went San Diego Comic conversation, son of a bitch. Like, that was such a great window and I just missed it all up. Was Marvel's panel the biggest one or was it the rookie?
Or was it Spaceballs?
I have literally not heard anyone mention The Rookie until just now.
Exactly. I
completely forgot there was a Rookie panel.
They had a panel, and I'm like, who's going to the Rookie season 9 panel? Like, is that?
I did ask for a press room, and they said they weren't doing one. But yeah, that is, yeah. I think the audience was probably bigger for the Marvel panel. That's just going out on a limb. Than The Rookie.
Wouldn't have been or awesome.
The grim 15th anniversary panel.
Hang on, I'm coming back to that. Wouldn't it have been awesome if for every panel that they didn't have, they're like, but we do have Amazon and Rings of Power available if you'd like to come to this one. Just to show the desperation. Grimm, that was the 15th anniversary of the show. Is that what it
or
was?
10th or 15th anniversary. I think it must have been 10th anniversary for the show. Yep.
Or whatever it was. Okay, so
yeah, they had them back. They were actually in Hall H.
Oh shit, that's the big one.
It was like Thursday though, or a Friday panel, not on Saturday.
Still good for them. I'm telling you, the couple years I went, I don't think they do it anymore. But at the time, you would go in the morning, you could stay there all day. You don't do that anymore, right?
You can still do that. Yeah.
Okay.
That's still how it works. They don't empty the rooms because it would take hours to empty out Hall H if they had to do that in between every panel.
Well, for those that don't know, like Hall H holds like 6,500 to 7,000 people.
Yeah, it's huge. It is huge. I don't know what the volume is, but I will tell you, like both times I went, and I went for like all the days or whatever, and I would try, once you got in, you kind of stay till you get to the panel you went to. I went to the Deadpool trailer reveal, actually. I was at that one, which was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And because I've never seen a trailer play, and then everybody demanded that they replay it immediately after it finished. It was awesome. But anyway, they had a Supernatural panel both times I went, and I'd never seen the show to that point, and they were still two of the best panels I saw at the whole convention, and I didn't even know the shit they were talking about. That's how entertaining the Jensen Ackles was.
When I first started going, I would just go into Barroom 20, which used to be where all the TV stuff was, and I would just sit in that room literally all day long, start to finish, both days, or all 3 or 4 days, and just see all the TV panels. And yeah, there was stuff I hadn't heard of, but you'd end up discovering these shows just because you're in there for the other panels.
It's wild. Good times. Would you say are you still enjoying going to these things, or do you feel like it's dying down or amping up? Like, where are you at with this?
I think I'm sort of in the middle, because I used to have a lot of friends that would go as well and do a lot of the press stuff as well. So without them there, it's a little less fun than it used to be, because you had your gang that you would hang out with after the fact. But I mean, the other stuff I do enjoy, covering like the press rooms and doing the activations and things. So as long as I can continue to get those and spend my time doing those, then yeah, I'll still continue to go.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, I hope you have fun. I know it's really expensive, man. That's why I stopped going.
The hotel is ridiculous. That's the big expense of it.
Yeah, it's insane. Before we go on to what you've been watching, I got to mention one of the best road trips you can take, which is a revenge road trip. And the Road Trip Revenge epic Is God Is out now on Blu-ray and DVD. And in this critically acclaimed genre-bending thriller, twin sisters with disfiguring burn scars have their world upended when the mother they believed dead reveals their father is responsible. When she orders them to kill him for what he did, they must decide whether to seek revengeance or just vengeance or find mercy. Is God Is stars Carrie Young, Mallory Johnson, Vivica A. Fox, Sterling K. Brown, love Sterling K. Brown, and Janelle Monáe. Now we go to what you've been watching. Kyle, what you've been watching?
So on the plane to Comic-Con, I was flipping through the screen and I found Shrinking, and I figured, hey, I've never watched this. For some reason, I confused this with the Netflix show The Patient. I was expecting totally someone
totally different.
I was like, when is this guy gonna take the other guy captive and his shrink captive and torment him? But no, this was actually a comedy.
I snorted at that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I actually thoroughly enjoyed this. I like every character is hilarious. There's also so much heart in the show. It's definitely one I want to get caught up, because I guess they finished season 3 recently, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I have two more seasons to get through, or 2.25 seasons to get through. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. Like, everyone is just great and hilarious, and they find new ways to make the different characters interact, and yeah, I just really enjoy the show.
Join us for our Comic-Con panel coverage in 2030 when Kyle is still on season one.
Oh, that's funny.
I did try to finish season one on the way home, but I wanted to get some sleep. It was a red eye. So.
That's fair. That's fair.
But you did see something I really want to see.
Me too. Yeah. Me too.
So this week's mystery movie was One Night Only, which if you're not familiar with the premise, it's that the government has outlawed premarital sex for everyone except for one night. So it's sort of like the Purge. It's from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Then everything's on the table or off the table or wherever.
Around the table, over the table,
under the table. So,
can you imagine the STD medicine sales like the next day? I just feel like there would just be a lot of antibiotics for sale. That's
well,
all.
Part of the requirements is also protection has to be used.
This is the shitty version of the Purge.
And so that's sort of like the premise. So there's these two people. There's this guy who runs a pizza shop who was planning to have this night with his girlfriend, who then wants to spend the night with somebody else. So then he's off on his own. And there's this woman who writes jingles for a living, and she is just trying to find some meaningful relationship. And so the two of them keep crossing paths. They're also, all the condoms in the city are all sold out, so they're also trying to find that so that they can go ahead. But so they keep crossing paths. So it's sort of a rom-com mixed with a sex comedy. And I just really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. There's like Molly Ringwald and LeVar Burton appearing in. There's lots of other people that.
That's totally random.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Just there's so many random celebrities that you see pop up as like guest characters. And it's just, I just really enjoyed it. It was so much fun with watching this movie.
What? And if $10 is the full price of admission, what would you give this one?
I'd give it a 7.
Wow. See,
wow. Yeah. Okay. And this is directed by Will Gluck, who did Anyone But You, Easy A, Friends with Benefits. He's done a lot of Peter Rabbit. So he's done a lot of movies over the years. And some, you know, hit or misses. But I will say, man, this is the plot that really kind of I was real curious about. If you've listened to our summer movie preview. So I'm really happy that this works, because this is already on my want to see list, and I'm glad it's something that actually will entertain me.
Yeah, the audience was laughing out loud throughout the thing, so it was definitely a hit with the rest of the audience as well.
And Callum Turner, I don't really know that well, but Monica Barbaro, she had that Arnold Schwarzenegger show, you know, the guy who sounds like Dr. Doom, and she was very funny on that. So I mean, I think she's got a lot of skills. I look forward to that. That's cool. Troy, what about you?
I did catch, as I mentioned, the new Avatar Aang movie on Paramount Plus. It takes place, I think it was 20 years, maybe a little sooner after the end of the 100-Year War from season or series one, right? The Avatar Aang, The Last Airbender series. This actually takes, they're trying to bring the nations together, build out Republic City, which we obviously learned more about in the Korra series. And so as the Republic City is getting built out, Aang is really sad because there are no airbenders, right? Because he's the last airbender. So he goes on a little bit of a quest to learn more about the heritage of the airbenders and finds, surprisingly, another airbender stuck in an iceberg, just like he was. And so found out that there's actually an avatar in the lineage of the avatars that nobody can get in touch with because they sealed themselves away because they held a great power that was able to give the power of airbending to other non-benders. And so the quest is basically Team Avatar teaming up with this new airbender to go find the scepter. And then, you know, obviously twists happen, magic happens, spirit world happens, all the classic stuff that you come to love about Avatar Aang and the crew. And it was really, 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 really well done. Good time. It had all the original feels of the original cartoon. I know there's been some controversy about things that they said were used, especially his face architecture was done by AI, and that has been proven false. So everything in this is completely 100% hand-drawn the old-fashioned way. So definitely check it out if you are an Avatar fan.
Are you disappointed? What's your score?
I had a great time. I think these characters that I grew up with and my kids grew up with and my friends still talk about that the live-action series is now trying to portray, maybe not in such a great way in season two, but it's still a very much a zeitgeist type thing. And I thought this was a great way to keep it going until we get new content, right? With the new TV show that's coming. So I would give it a solid, eight.
Okay.
I didn't really find anything wrong with it. I really enjoyed the story. I thought the twist was a little predictable, but I loved what they did and how they explored where they needed to go. Because anytime the lion turtles are involved, I'm in. Like the history of how much mythology they had to build out thousands of years in the past, right, to come up with these stories and know that they can keep reaching back into that mythology just makes it work really well.
Excellent. Because I remember you had said when you watched this, God, I wish this was at a theater, right?
It was originally supposed to be, right. And then they decided to move it, and then it got freaking hacked and leaked on the internet, so people got to see it well in advance of the actual release. And then they're like, oh, let's only put it in New York and LA in two theaters. And then nobody could get tickets for it because the ticket selling process was a complete, the whole thing has been a fiasco. So I just really hope people catch it on Paramount Plus because it was really, really good. And there's supposed to be two more movies coming.
Well, I sure am glad that's the company that bought Warner Brothers. So that just says a lot for our future. So what was the other one that you,
you saw? This is pretty actual outstanding news. But Hadestown, which has just reached its 10th anniversary, released a Pro Capture movie version in the theaters that was supposed to be for 5 nights only. So I got off the boat and on little sleep caught this on night 5. And the only reason I went was because it was only supposed to be in theaters for 5 days.
Yeah, I was wondering how you saw this damn thing because we just got off a cruise and you're like, yeah, I saw Hadestown. I'm like, when? When did you? But then again, I saw Toy Story 5 too because my daughter drove me to it. So.
And I have to say it was utterly fantastic. It shot extremely well. It was over 4 performances, I do believe is the thing, along with some like non-audience type shots, obviously, that they get, as they're doing rehearsals. It is fantastic. It's the original kind of Broadway cast reprising their roles. Everybody's having a great time. You can see them smiling on stage and are excited to be back in these characters again, since they were the characters that were involved during the pandemic. It was a really great time. I saw it with a bunch of friends. I saw it with people that haven't seen it before. I've told people to go see it and they've seen it and loved it. It did amazingly well because early numbers said it did 9.7, but it actually ended up getting great word of mouth on Sunday and the numbers got retotaled to 10.2 million for the weekend on about 1900 screens, which makes it better than Hamilton's release.
It was during COVID, I would say. I think Hamilton would have been a lot bigger if it wasn't for COVID.
And Hamilton did come out on Disney Plus before it went into the theater. Mm-hmm. So it was the reverse option. But they extended the run. So if you have not seen Hadestown, it is still playing. And I highly recommend you go see it because if you're an AMC Plus member, I mean, you're talking, that's a cheap ticket, right? That's free. Mm-hmm. To see Hadestown for free is, and to see it for $13 if you have to pay for it versus $150 like most of us did. Like, it's a great show. It is one of my top musicals of all time.
Yeah, I saw this morning. I wasn't like, I thought it was odd that it was listed as at my close theater because I thought I was going to have to go by Tuesday to see it at the far theater. But then it must have gotten expanded to my close theater as well because I think they had like 10 showings of it today, which was ridiculous for the close theater to have that many showings. And I also expected it to be one of those Fathom events that you wouldn't be able to use A-List on. So I figured once I saw that, I figured I'd go see it with my A-List. I didn't love it. I thought it was really well shot. I had no idea it was over 4 performances. To me, it just looked like one continuous performance. I didn't love it, especially I'm not a fan of how it ends, but I did enjoy some of the songs are very catchy and memorable. But yeah, I think it was really well done for a production wise.
Yeah. We should say for those that don't know, it's a story of, Orpheus and Eurydice and their love story as they deal with Hades and Persephone. So it's a Greek mythology set to maybe like early 20s railroad jazz is the theme.
Bouncing off that Odyssey money, huh?
It's time for the Greeks.
There you go. I saw Ride or Die. Well, I'm sorry. What did you give this one?
$10. Oh, Hadestown? Yeah. Nine. It was a solid nine for me.
Okay.
Thoroughly awesome. Enjoyed it. It was everything fired on all cylinders. They had a little bit of, before the movie starts, like in the pre-credit roll, there's a little bit like in the dressing room and they're backstage and you're hearing them do their warm up and you're like engaging with the audience. You're kind of getting the feel of what the theater is, even though you're at a movie theater. And they included a special teaser. So stay to the end of the credits and you get to see the lamp scene that's done. The very, very first ever lamp scene test. You get to see that as the post-credits option, which is really great.
Excellent. So I caught the Ride or Die series. I mean, I heard about this and I'm just like, well, this is going to be dumb, but fun. I was hoping. And it was. I will say it follows lifelong best friends Debbie and Judith, who kind of have their own routines. You know, Debbie is, she is basically a politician's wife and she is the force behind his success. So of course, you know, her friend Judith is really kind of like, man, step out and make your own path. Da, 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 da. There's this sort of thing. And what she doesn't know, what Debbie doesn't know, is played by Octavia Spencer. I should slow down here. Is that Judith is also known by her fun name, which is Whiptail, and that is an assassin. And she works for a shadowy organization led by the director. I mean, all this kind of sounds pretty generic and cheesy, and what happens is that Judith, who's played by Hannah Waddingham, who is fan-frickin-tastic as this, like, make her, obviously not James Bond, but make her like a 007 type spy in the future, because I think she's awesome in this. Like, she kicks the shit out of people and does it in a way that makes me smile. But she, and also she's funny, she's charming, she's sexy, she's all the things. But she stumbles into a dinner and of course things go wrong. She's supposed to be assassinating someone at the same party that Debbie's at, and then they end up on the run. Hijinks ensue. They're being pursued across Europe by a rogue assassin, as well as her former employers and maybe someone else. There's a little mystery at play here too. There's some mafia involved, et cetera, et cetera. This is like an 8-episode series. I was really wondering, like, how are they going to stretch this out for 8 episodes? Can they make this work, when I first heard about this show? And I really thought like, this would be a great movie. I don't know how you're gonna make this work as a series. It is fun. It is wonderfully fun. They make a great pair. I really, you know, look, I love Octavia Spencer. She's a wonderful actress, but I'm like, she's going to be in an action comedy? What? It works. Everything she does works, because she's not kicking a whole lot of ass, although she does as she goes, more with her sass than her hands, but still, she is wonderful. Waddingham is wonderful, and together they are fantastic. Like, I almost would rather have a season 2 of this than more Ted Lasso at this point. That's how good I think Waddingham is in this role. Not that I don't love Ted Lasso and I know it's coming back, but it's just like, I've seen Ted Lasso. I love these two. I want to follow these two on another adventure. They are such great friends and they make a great team and they play off each other so well. And when, you know, a lot of times when you see friends in movies, like, they don't come off as they could actually be friends. These two feel like they've been hanging out for most of their life. It just feels natural and genuine. The action works. It's very thrilling. It's shot well. It feels like every other action comedy series out there, but heightened with a better story and much better actors. I love a good buddy comedy. I've talked about it a lot. And even, you know, body comedy in this respect. So it's a great series. I really did enjoy it. Ride or Die is on Prime Video now. I give it a solid 850. I smiled the entire series, which is hard to say for a lot of shows that go 8 episodes. I don't think either one of you have seen this yet.
I've never even heard of this. I'm sure I posted about the premiere, but it doesn't even sound familiar, but now I want to check it out.
It's fun. It's very fun. She is great assassin, man. She is like legitimately a great assassin. There are moments where she's just cutting throats left and right. And she is so smooth. Just so smooth. So anyway, that's it for the show, I think, right? We're done. We are done. Troy wants to go to bed. I think he hasn't gone to sleep since he got off the ship. So
it's about right.
Yeah. Oof. Me too.
I did not fall asleep during Hadestown or Avatar Aang, unlike Kyle, who fell asleep during the panel that we specifically asked him to go to check out.
I didn't fall asleep during the panel part. That was only about 5 minutes before they actually showed the episode. But then I fell asleep.
I'm just saying, not a big sales pitch for Dark Matter this whole episode. I'm just saying.
Like, no. It's a good show. I really enjoyed the first season, so I really wanted to see the second season. But
I don't believe you, as Ron Burgundy would say.
Sleep one over.
That's going to do it for this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Go check out a lot of the San Diego Comic-Con. It's all over the internet, but I hope this kind of was a great summation for you. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Remember, we'll be back next week. We're going to drop this one a little early so we can get it out there because the news is so current. But, you know, we'll be back next Friday with a new episode. Maybe sooner if I can put together a Spider-Man spoiler cast because, you know, I do love the Spider-Man. So we'll see what happens. But that's it. Remember, the next time you head to a theater, buy popcorn. And yeah, I didn't even mention TV, because get your asses out and go see some stuff in the theater. I love it. The Odyssey's a massive hit. Spider-Man's coming out. Woohoo! Theaters are back. They're crushing.
With the AMC Popcorn Pass, now $17.99 for the remainder of the year.
What a bargain. Get your popcorn. Gotta go. Bye!
I did buy popcorn today, and I got my refill to take home.
Did you fall asleep before you ate it?
Nope. I actually managed to stay awake for all of Hadestown.
I don't believe you. Ha ha ha.